Well, in the old days, I remember watching TV on an old black and white. Our family had only one screen in the house back then. It's hard to believe. And because the aerial was on top of the TV, a common experience was adjusting, you know, the aerial to get the right picture. And I remember being frequently frustrated with the fuzzy picture. I'd watch the footy or some show, and you could see players running around, you know, and that was still better than listening to the radio, but I felt like I was still missing half the action. I couldn't see the numbers or faces properly because of the interference. Today, however, in the age of digital signal and high resolution, flat screen TVs with like millions of colours, we're now looking at an image which is clear. I can clearly make out faces and enjoy the program. I can really understand what's going on and enter into the show that I'm watching. And when I compare those two experiences with the old TV and with the new, I would pick the new TVs any day for clarity of picture. And in the same way, I think the Apostle Paul felt this way when it came to comparing the ministry of the Old Covenant to the ministry of the New Covenant. What God had revealed through Moses was good, but it was still only like a black and white picture compared to the full HD color palette of what God revealed through his son Jesus. Our reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians comes where Paul is giving a defense for why he's been so bold as an apostle to proclaim the gospel. And the big reason is that the ministry of the new covenant and what it has to offer is just so good. This is why Paul is so bold. He was sold on a better hope. As a devout Jew, he had experienced the best of the old covenant. And it was glorious. But when he met Jesus, the exact image of God, everything changed. Before, it was like he had a good but frustrating analog resolution, but now he had a crystal clear 8K digital image of who God is. Paul is confident that the ministry of the new covenant is superior. So we see Paul contrasting two ministries. In verse 7, Paul begins to draw on the events of Deuteronomy 34 to make his point. Moses came down the mountain the second time after receiving the Ten Commandments and encountering God's glory. Moses' face, after meeting with God, was so radiant, glowing. But we're told in Exodus 34 that Moses' glowing face then had to be veiled from the Israelites. Now, there are all sorts of suggestions as to why he did this, but it's likely that Moses veiled it so that his glowing face wouldn't distract the Israelites. We're told in verse 7 that the net result of this was that the reflected glory of the Lord was veiled. Paul also mentions in verse 7 and 9 that the law brought death and condemnation. Now, Paul is not saying that the law was bad, and we know that in many other parts of Scripture, the law was viewed as a life-giving thing. The law shows what is wrong. It helps the believer to avoid a path that leads to death. However, the law, however glorious, in the end, does not have power to transform the believer, which is one of the big reasons why the new brings hope of salvation for the believer, not just for the next life, but right here now in this life. It is the ministry of the Spirit then that brings power to transform the believer. And that's why Paul is so bold in his proclamation of the gospel. He makes further comments. It's a ministry that lasts, verse 7, 11 and 13. The old faded at the coming of Christ. And in the coming of Christ, a great glory was revealed in the gospel and through the Spirit. Paul continues on to speak of in verses 16 to 18. He says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil that was hiding the radiant glory of God is taken away whenever someone turns to the Lord. It's like the dramatic difference of moving from a frustrating, fuzzy TV to a high-resolution, flat-screen TV. Verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This is the big hope. The new is available to anyone who turns to the Lord and all who seek to focus on Jesus. We can contemplate the Lord, or better still, there's a sense in the text that we're to see the Lord's glory as in a reflection in a mirror. While indirect, and this is the indirectness of seeing Jesus through the reflection of the gospel accounts of Jesus, while indirect and a reflection, yet still the mirrored image that we see is clear and not veiled. To fix our eyes on the person of Jesus and the gospel of grace and love in Jesus, we have the clearest picture of God's glory. It's a glorious, beautiful, and attractive picture. And as we fix our eyes on this portrait of Jesus, the Spirit uses this truth, Jesus' purpose and character, to transform us into Jesus' glorious image with ever-increasing glory from one degree of glory to another. So how radical is this? Our faith calls us to focus on Jesus and to let the Spirit transform us into his glorious likeness. Today in our world, many people are told to look inward to find their true image or person. We're told to kind of look into ourselves. We're to look inward to work out our identity and purpose. And only then will we truly be fulfilled and have the fullest life. We're to look inward to find our true image. That is the transformation that we're told that is good. You only have to watch popular films like Moana, where you find this narrative. Moana finds fulfillment by trusting her inner calling to explore the ocean and restore the heart of Te Fiti. Her journey is one of self-discovery as she learns that her true identity and purpose come from within, not from the expectations of her village or family. Or from the movie Mulan. Mulan starts her journey feeling out of place in her traditional role as a daughter. By the end of the film, she discovers her inner strength and bravery by following her own path and protecting her family and country. Her fulfillment comes from honouring her true self rather than meeting societal expectations. But while in a movie, this looking inward has this sound, it sounds noble and brave, I wonder what is this inner truth that validates what each person sees as noble? How can I tell if being true to myself is just grounded in my own veiled selfishness? I agree it's good to spend time knowing oneself, what I'm good at, what my passions are, my personality. But in the end, the destination for our transformation needs to be anchored in something outside of myself and my values. It worked out well for Moana to reject society's expectations. But if everybody rejects society's expectations and does what they please, then I wonder what our society might look like. I believe our destination for our transformation needs to be anchored in something outside of ourself and in the one that gave the original blueprint for our lives. God is the author of life. God holds the key to our purpose and character and holiness. And so we're to find our true image in Christ's image, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our purpose is found in Christ's purpose. Our character is found in Christ's character. Jesus, who was generous, kind, humble, patient, just. He was perfectly loving of others. Jesus was servant-hearted and willing to suffer for others. He served God's good purpose for this world. And this is who I want to be like, Jesus. And I love it. And it takes the guesswork out of who I need to be like. But for this transformation, we need really a clear vision of Christ. So we need to look, even though indirectly, as through a mirror, into the unveiled glory of God, into the very face of Christ. This is our purpose. We are not only saved by the blood of Christ and the washing away of our sins, but God's purpose for us as disciples is also to be transformed in ever-increasing ways into the same image as Jesus, God's Son. While outwardly wasting away, we're to be inwardly transformed into the same image of Christ. Our spiritual formation is a response to the gift of life we've been given. We have entered the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus. Now, many Christians, I think, mistakenly think that because we're saved by grace, that our faith should therefore require no effort. But as Dallas Willard famously said, grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. We do not need to transform our lives to earn our salvation, but we put effort into transforming into the likeness of Christ because this is the result of a life that focuses on Jesus with the power of the Spirit. And one big way we can intentionally become like Christ is to build into our lives the spiritual practices of Christ. One of the exciting, I think, recent developments at St. Hills is that we, as a community, are encouraging each other to pursue core practices that will help to spiritually form us. And one such practice is solitude. Jesus regularly practiced solitude. Over the last month, on Sunday afternoons, it's been a joy to go deeper into this practice with a group and be encouraged through the course and with others who desire to incorporate this practice into their daily lives. And so this is a 4-week course, and you could do this with your Connect group if you'd like to. Come and speak to me, and I think it's well worth doing. We can see from Scripture that Jesus had a rhythm of retreat and return, taking himself off to places of peace and quiet to intentionally spend time with God. Solitude is a place of encounter with what's happening inside us, to deal with the lies of the enemy and to encounter God, to listen in the quiet to what he has to say. Our society fills our lives with anxiety and noise, with demands on our time and our abilities. But even Jesus, who had a busy life, made time to be with God in the quiet. And this is one important way we can grow to become more like Jesus. over the next term, term four, we're going to then enter and highlight another related spiritual practice, which is prayer. So there'll be opportunity to take part in our next prayer course on Monday nights. So I encourage you to look out for that in term four. This is all to say that as a community at St Hills, we want to take our discipleship seriously. We are committed to helping each other to become more like Christ. What we read in 2 Corinthians 3 is the gospel ministry of the new covenant, which with the Spirit's help has the power to transform us into the likeness of Jesus in ever-increasing glory. Now, this is why Paul was so bold and what gave him hope, and I hope gives us hope as we seek to love God.